you, do they recognize you have been with Jesus? Phil, have you even spent enough time with Jesus this year to enable people to recognize that you've been with him? Is Christ recognized through me? Because if he is, then he's receiving the glory that he deserves. Can people recognize that I have been with Jesus this year? Well, we're going to spend a few minutes looking at Acts chapter 4 and thinking about these things. And I hope as we do so, it'll act as a focus for our time of prayer in just a few moments. And maybe for some of us, it will act as a focus for the coming year too. And so I want us to look at the conduct of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. And I want to consider three things. In particular, I want us to consider how they speak, who they listen to, and where they go for help. How they speak, who they listen to, and where they go for help. So firstly, let's look at how they speak. And our focus for this is in verses 1 to 12, where we see Peter and John giving a defense to this Sanhedrin council. And I think it's apparent in these verses, verses 1 to 12, that for Peter and John, the thing they want to talk about is the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to ask ourselves whether the same is true of us. How do we speak? What do we speak about? When I was at school, I used to enjoy playing football. And I remember there would always be at least one kid in every match who would be accused of goal hanging, of just waiting by the goal, looking for an opportunity to shoot when the ball came their way. Well, I think we see something similar here in chapters 3 and 4 about the way Peter and John speak. They're goal hangers, as it were, for the gospel, always alert and looking for opportunities to strike, to talk of Christ and share his gospel, even from the narrowest of angles. They're gospel goal hangers. That comes across particularly in chapter 3. But in our chapter 2, you'll see the same is true. In verses 1 and 2, we read about what Peter and John are doing. It says they are speaking in verse 1, and that they are teaching and proclaiming about Jesus. That's verse 2. And so you'll see from verse 5 onwards that because of this, they're hauled before this council that may well condemn them to death. But even there, they answer the question posed to them in verse 7 by boldly and unashamedly presenting the gospel and imploring these people, and indeed all the people of Israel, to turn to Jesus for salvation. I was challenged over the summer when we went as a family to Yorkshire camps, and the speaker, Roger Carswell, said that every morning he prays that God will give him an opportunity that day to share the gospel. And he said he then spends the day in eager anticipation to see how God will answer that prayer through him. And so one of my aims for 2019 is that I will have more of that eagerness, more readiness to speak for Christ like Roger Carswell does and like the apostles do here. But when I was looking at this passage over the summer, I asked myself, what made them so eager? What gives people like Roger Carswell or the apostles so much more conviction and compassion than I have to speak so readily of Christ? And the difficult conclusion I came to is that it's because they really understood and have grasped the truths of the words of verse 12 in a way that maybe I haven't. And I feel that I, and maybe you, need to let those words of verse 12 sink deep into our hearts and minds in 2019. Verse 12 says, "There is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." What a difference those words should make to the way we speak. They tell us that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this broken world. There's no other name, no other way, no other religion or philosophy or lifestyle that can rescue this drowning world. So whether it's your neighbour or work colleague or hairdresser or postman or family member or whoever, whether they are a friend or a foe, whether they're sympathetic to your faith or scorn it, the truth remains that Jesus Christ is their only hope. And as verse 12 says, they must be saved. They must be saved. So let's learn from the way Peter and John speak here. And let's strive to speak more like them, using the opportunities we have to share the gospel. Maybe as a start, learn from the example of Roger Carswell and start praying every morning or even just once a week for an opportunity to share the gospel. Let's pray that God will fill us with his Spirit, as it says in verse 8, and that by this our hearts will be burdened for the lost and our conversation will be saturated with Christ, so that he is glorified through the mouths he's given us, as our words are used to turn sinners to him. How will you speak in 2019? Well, let's move on and consider something else from the apostles' conduct, this time from verses 13 to 22. And the thing I want us to consider from these verses is who they listen to. Who would they listen to? That's what they have to weigh up in verse 19. Isn't it? They're called again before the Sanhedrin Council and strongly commanded and even threatened not to speak any more about Jesus. So what will they do? Will they listen to God or to someone else? And you can tell that these are loud, compelling voices in their ears, can't you? Can you imagine what this situation must have been like for Peter and for John? There's these 71 important leaders who make up the Sanhedrin Council, who are commanding and threatening them to stop speaking about Jesus. And there they are, two weak believers, two believers that already just a couple of months earlier had deserted Christ, and in the case of Peter, had denied his Lord to someone as lowly and unthreatening as a servant girl. Well, the truth is, we also face a loud, compelling voice every day urging us to disobey Jesus and to stop listening to our Lord. We face the same strong opponent as they did. We too battle with the devil, who every day throws temptations and challenges our way, seeking to deceive us, to catch us off guard, to take our eyes off Jesus. Maybe it's the temptation not to pray. Maybe it's the temptation to rush your Bible reading or not read the Bible at all. Maybe it's the temptation to let your minds wander in a sermon. Maybe it's the temptation to speak badly of someone else, or to be lazy, or to be proud, or to allow thoughts to circulate in your mind or images appear before your eyes, which you know will hinder your walk with the Lord. Maybe it's the temptation to despair, to forget that God is sovereign. Maybe it's the temptation to think that you can do it by yourself. Maybe it's the temptation not to speak for Christ when he gives us opportunities. Every day you face the question, who will you listen to? And you're at danger of taking your eyes from Christ and closing your ears to God in every situation you find yourself in, whether you're in joy or sorrow, sickness or health, in a time of plenty or in a time of lack. Do you realize the strength of your opponent, the devil, who seeks even today to devour you? Who will you listen to? Well, the encouragement we see in Acts chapter 4 is that by God's grace, these two weak believers, Peter and John, put on the full armor that God has given them and so stand firm in their faith, choosing to listen to their Lord and serve him above all others. Look at verses 19 and 20 with me again. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. They really are firm in their faith, aren't they? So in 2019, how can we have more of their resolve to serve the Lord and to listen to him above all others? Well, think again about their words in verse 20. Peter and John have seen and heard something that is entirely compelling, something which makes everything else pale into insignificance, something which means that they cannot but serve God and listen to him. So in 2019, who will you listen to? Will you listen to God or will you listen to the devil? And I think the day-to-day answer to that question will be determined by how compelled you are by what you have seen and heard. So draw near to God and the devil will flee. Go back to the cross, back to the truths of verse 12, and be amazed by your Saviour. Be amazed by your salvation. See more of Christ's beauty. Hear more of his words. And so find yourself compelled to serve him and to listen to him above all others, without exception. Who will you listen to? Well, finally, to close, look with me at verses 23 to 31. And here I think we can learn something else from the conduct of Peter and John. And it's related to where they go. Where do they go for help? Well, look at verse 23. And you'll see what they do in their need at the earliest opportunity. It says, as soon as they were released, they go to their Christian friends, to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then it says in verse 24, that together they lift their voice to God. And I think that in itself is quite a challenge. Don't you see how great the blessing is of Christian company? What a great blessing that should be to us. God has given us a great gift in the Christian church. He's put around us other Christians to encourage us, to stir us up, to rebuke us where necessary, to pray for us and to pray with us. And so it's no surprise that Peter and John go straight to their friends in verse 23 for help and support. In 2019, let's use the gift God has given us at North Bradley of each other. Let's make sure we surround ourselves with Christians with whom we can share our worries and our trials, our struggles, our desires and our joys. Let's make sure we pray with each other and are accountable to each other. It's so important for our mutual growth in the faith that we go to each other for help. Well, verse 24 tells us that together this group of believers then turn to God and they go to him in prayer asking for his help. And there really is no better place they could go. Is that they bring their troubles to God, not trying to solve things by themselves. And who is the God they go to? Who is the God that we will be praying to in just a moment? Verse 24 tells us, it says, he is the sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And if you look over their prayer to God in the following verses, it should remind you that even in trouble, even in the lows, God is in total control and knows what he's doing. He predestines what takes place, verse 28, and he gives his people just what they need, verse 29 to 31. God is in control. He gives us what we need and answers our prayers. He works in us through his Spirit to transform us from weak believers into powerhouses that can cause amazement to those around us, like we see in verse 13. So remember how God transforms Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and be encouraged. We're going to come before that same miracle-working God now. So let's pray that he will give us everything we need in 2019 to speak for him and to listen to him and to go to him as he wants us to. And maybe if we speak of him more and listen to him more and go to him more, maybe people will look at us and recognize in us that we have been with Jesus, and that will give him the glory. We're going to sing together now. We rest in thee. And it reminds us that we